Hello, I'm Tanvi.
Hi, I'm Sia.
And this is Janvaried.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Janvaried. Just before we jump into a conversation with Ayushi and Ruth, we just really wanted to wish you guys a really happy Pride Month. So to all of my friends and all the listeners out there who are part of the community, have a great one this year.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Janvaried. Hey Ayushi, hey Ruth, we've been following your work at Unoya. First off, we've been so inspired because we feel like there isn't any teenage or whatever adolescent platform that shares and talks about mental health. So kudos to that. We really want to know, what has your experience been like with mental health? Did a previous encounter or someone you know suffer with it that inspired you to start this initiative?
So our organization is basically based of psych students. All three of us were psych students. Zaina wasn't able to be here, but all three of us were psych students in 11th, 12th, and that is how we started off as Unoya. We took an internship and it led to the formation of Unoya. And the only experience that we had with mental health was as psych students. So this was comparatively new to us. We are on social media. We are active on social media. So we had come across other platforms like ours. And I think that was our main inspiration to draw from before coming up with Unoya.
So the name, it's really interesting, right? Unoya, you don't hear that a lot. I believe it has Greek origins. Yeah. So how exactly did you come up with the name?
While we were looking for names and possible ideas for our team itself, I think, I'm not sure which one of us came across this word, but what Unoya means is basically beautiful thinking. So once we came across that, we realized that that's exactly what we wanted our slogan to be, what we wanted our entire organization to be. We wanted to encourage people to think beautifully, to think well, to think positively, so that their mental health is always looked after, and that it's always positive and always beautiful.
Yeah, that's really nice. So how did you guys get such a large traction? How did you meet your co-founders?
We had a bigger team when we first started off, but it ended up with only three of us being in charge. And since we weren't such a big number for a team, we would all write and we would all design. So we all took turns in each post, and it was a really coordinated work that we did. And recently we've expanded our team. We're still trying it out. We're still in the process of experimentation. We've decided to expand our teams because we are in 12th and we will be passing on to college soon, and we need someone to take over for us because we don't want this organization to die down. We truly believe in how it's inspired other people. So right now we're experimenting with expanding our team. So yeah.
You've talked about expanding and you've talked about school. So what was your experience with learning psychology like in school? Because not a lot of schools offer it. What is it as a subject? Like, how do you learn it? Because I always imagine psychology to be like a one-on-one confrontation with you and your therapist. So what was your psychology experience like? It's a very confusing subject, and I have absolutely no idea how it's taught in schools.
Okay, I think that's a very broad question, because I think depending on which syllabus you take or which board you take, the method of teaching psychology would be different. But for us personally, we had a very content intensive psychology work. So we started off with the basics, like the different schools of psychology. Then we delved into the very basics, like how emotions and feelings play into psychology, how they can influence our behavior, and sometimes how our mind and our thoughts can influence our behavior. So we started from the ground up, and then we moved on. We started doing research. We started conducting surveys and conducting our own research and questionnaires that we could figure out, so that we could draw our own inferences. So ultimately, I think at the end of 2 years, we did have a very good foundation in psychology, in the basics at least. And I know most of us do plan on taking some psychology courses further in college too.
That's a really interesting field, and I really want to know more about it, but I haven't really understood the way, you know, to start learning.
I think if you are asking for advice or if you're asking for suggestions, the best way to start is by either reading, or right now I'm taking a philosophy course on Coursera. Coursera has some really good courses. They have Introduction to Psychology, and it basically covers some theories of psychology and some theorists as well, which we've learned. So I think that would be a great place to start. There are a lot of resources in today's day and age because psychology is becoming an important science. And I think it would be easy to find out courses. It doesn't have to be that deep or that focused on research. It could be more theoretical and more fun.
Yeah, and if you do want a more intensive study plan, then you can always take AP Psychology, which would help you in college too. And that would give you the very basics as well as credits later that you can use.
Do you think that people talk enough about mental health?
Well, I think in today's world, especially since the pandemic has hit us, there has been a major shift of focus to mental health. And people have actually started paying a lot of emphasis on mental health. Like, other than us, we've seen many Instagram accounts come up talking about this topic. But I still think a lot of these Instagram accounts cover a general idea of mental health or a general topics in mental health. And I think it is very important to delve deeper into mental health. There's a lot that is still uncovered, and there's a lot that we still have to shed light on. But it is a definite start. So it's good to see so much awareness being spread about a topic like this, which is still a little bit stigmatized.
I just wanted to say that, like she said, a lot of it is mostly surface level, and it's only a start. It's important that the discourse continues and people keep talking about it even once the lockdown lifts and once the pandemic is over. So I think that's what we want. That's what's very important to us. You know, we want to expand our team. We want to keep this going because we don't think this conversation should stop anytime soon.
Yeah,
no, that definitely makes a lot of sense. Personally, I think that mental health, it's a topic that's been talked about a lot. It's like gaining such traction now. But before, a lot of it was negative. Like, you know, if you like to clean your OCD, and if you don't know how, if you're a little bit shy in public, oh no, you have anxiety. So I think that's horrible. And stuff like that still happens. So
yeah.
Do you think it still happens now?
Yeah, I do think it still happens. What's even funnier is I see these Instagram reels about psychology facts where it's like, if you fall asleep thinking about someone, they're also thinking about you and stuff like that. And there's so much misinformation around the aspect of psychology and mental health itself. It's saddening to see, but I do see a lot of psychology professionals also coming onto social media and talking about these topics now, which makes it a lot better. And I think a lot of the youth is pursuing psychology and making themselves aware about psychology. So I think it is a start, and it is a little bit slow, but it's still like, you know, how two steps forward, one step back, it's still a step forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we were actually checking out your Insta, and we saw a lot of these sicknesses I haven't personally heard of before, like PICA. And I thought that was really fascinating that nobody's actually heard of stuff like this before. Mm-hmm. So I think what you guys are doing is really inspirational because, you know, you're educating the youth, right? And mm-hmm. and that's really fascinating. So
thank you.
Yeah, I personally think that it's talked about a lot, mental health, but in like a wrong way. As in like, it's either a wrong way, like gaining clout. You know, a lot of people do that. Yeah. I'm so depressed and I'm so anxious. Well, like if the moment you panic, you have anxiety. As Sia said, if you cry, you have something like that. And I think that a lot of influencers are trying to use it for clout and to get people to hear them out. What do you guys think of that?
Oh, I've seen stuff like that. I think it's ridiculous and it's not okay. It's so ethically wrong. I've seen a bunch of these celebrities who've gotten psychology, I mean, therapist certificates online. So they've done like a 6-month course and they've posted it on their Insta and they're like, I'm a psychologist now. And and they're spreading so much misinformation. And it's not okay, because there are people out there who genuinely need help. And then they're looking at people like this and getting swayed by people like this, and that they're just gonna not get the help that they need.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of like people, you know, coming out and being like, I've been anxious for the past whole year, do you think that they do it for attention sometimes, or do they genuinely, or does everyone genuinely have this problem?
I feel like in the pandemic, mental health rates, like especially when you're locked in one house with some people, especially if you're in families that are either toxic or you aren't that family isn't that like narcissistic,
unhealthy.
Like we talked about narcissistic family dynamics and toxic families. If you're all stuck in one house, it's definitely very possible for your anxiety rates to go especially high during the pandemic. Even if you don't have any such problems, you live a very healthy, happy life, it is still possible to become really anxious, because it is a huge change for all of us, and change does cause anxiety. I think sometimes it's a cry for help. It's just a way to vent that I have been really anxious. Other times it could be for clout, but you know, we'd like to be optimistic and hope that people are being better.
Yeah, and it's best not to make generalizations that, you know, everyone who comes and says they have problems is lying, because you always believe the person first before you jump to conclusions.
That
makes so much sense. So what role does society actually play in the entire, you know, ideology that, you know, that mental health is something that needs attention, that needs traction? So
I think the different age groups are definitely a major factor that people should consider. So say our generation, at least people, the younger generation, we're all more open to mental health, we're more open to accepting mental disorders and to accepting mental problems and to actually acknowledging them. Whereas people from the older generations, they're not as open to it, because it's kind of considered a taboo topic, because it's not something they've discussed before, nor something they've been confronted before. So I think society does play a major role in the fact that we, as the younger generation, you know, it's on us, it's our responsibility to educate the older generation about this and get them involved, because ultimately they are our parents, they are our grandparents, they are the people, they are our role models. So they should also be informed and well educated about all of this.
Yeah, another disadvantage that I think our generation in particular has is the fact that people, you know, spread information only when it's trendy. Like the whole Black Lives Matter happened and it became a really huge trend. And as soon as it was gone, all of these organizations, all of these people just stopped tweeting about it, stopped talking about it, stopped raising awareness. I think in today's day and age, mental health has also become like a trend that people want to follow and want to become a part of. And so I think that's another thing that we need to battle, that you always, it's very easy to fall into the other side and say that if the whole society is against mental health, then you'd also go against mental health because it's trendy or because everyone else is doing it. And if the whole society is supporting mental health, then again, you have to change your stance to fit in. So I think that's a huge trend nowadays. And it's really important to do your research. And it's okay to be wrong or right. Mental health is a very tricky topic. It's very complicated. But at the end of the day, it's about doing your research, no matter what the trend is.
Yeah, and I know so many kids and I have so many friends who've had genuine mental health concerns, but they couldn't tell their parents about it, and they couldn't even, and because of that, they couldn't attend therapy. They were stuck because they knew that their parents wouldn't understand. And that's such a horrible situation to be in or to even watch your friends in. And that's why I think it's so important that you have to keep talking about this and you have to keep trying to educate people about it.
Yeah, definitely. One of like my family friends' kids show a lot of symptoms of ADHD, and I've even informed them about it, told them that it is not normal to behave in such way, and it's probably hurting him more than it's hurting the people around him.
Exactly.
So, and they're still not willing. There is still a lot of stigma around going to therapy, especially if you're a child. Like, parents focus so much on the physical health of the child that they forget that even the mental health is so important. And I think that we are slowly getting rid of the stigma, but it is still there. Even in urban areas such as ours, the stigma still prevails. But I think that social media awareness is kind of helping lift it off now.
It's helping. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I completely agree with whatever you guys have said. And I think like the personal anecdote that you shared, Ayushi, I completely understand why, because ADHD is kind of like something's not okay with you. You may be mad. Mental health is kind of associated to not being mentally sane in a way.
Yeah.
It's associated to insanity, and that's just not it. Like if you have a fever, does not mean that you have whatever, cancer or something. It's just a small flu that can be cured by getting the right help. And people choose to understand that. People choose not to see it that way. And I think that's really sad.
Yeah. And I feel like there are so many mental issues that aren't that obvious either. Right? Like ADHD is not something that's very evident. So a lot of parents would miss it. Or something like, say, a panic disorder or depression would be more evident. You know that a person would be struggling through all of this. But something like ADHD or ADD, you wouldn't exactly know, because it's more of an internal struggle and also symptoms and behavior that's not very discernible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, so this all sort of boils down to like trying to get out of a toxic environment. Like, if somebody, you know, doesn't help you, give you the help you need, does that, that's basically classified as, you know, partly toxic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, this thing about toxicity is something that I still don't understand. What is toxic and what is not toxic? Because I think that you can't really draw a line between black and white. There are certain grays. So, what do you think is that shade of gray where someone needs to go and get help?
I think toxicity can be very obvious in some places. It can be obvious that someone is physically, mentally, psychologically abusing you. It's mostly evident when it's physical, but mental is a little bit less out there, so people don't pick on it immediately. Especially people who are the victims, they've already suffered with toxicity earlier on in their life, and it's what they're used to, and it's what they see sometimes, it's what they deserve. So the pattern keeps going on until someone tells them that this is wrong, it's not how it's supposed to be. Especially if you see maybe a pair of best friends having a fight and one of them insulting them and degrading them and sort of telling them what actually is wrong, what is to be done. So a lot of these traits are overseen, or they're not seen as something that could be alarming, but it's very important to notice that some things are always in plain sight and you forget to notice them, or you kind of leave out these details. And it's right that it can either be, it can't be black or white. There is a little bit of gray area in between, but it's always noticeable. So they're always reaching out for help in a way or another.
So I feel like I know a lot of people in toxic relationships who are also aware of the fact that their relationship is toxic, but they're not able to get out of it, either because they're stuck by some physical needs or by some mental block that they have themselves, that they feel like, oh, I don't deserve anything more. I don't think I can get out of this. I don't think I'm going to find another friend like this. I have to stay, or I deserve this. So it's a very like a toxic cycle of thoughts that are just building up to nowhere. And I think, again, education is really important. Giving support to such people is very important, because like Ayushi said, it's obvious to other people. It's even though the signs might not be that evident, they're still there. So if you see someone struggling, you should always offer help.
Yeah.
So guys, what are your thoughts on therapy? Like, a lot of people don't get what they need.
So I had a friend who went to therapy, and from them I got to know that you don't need to really have something wrong with you to go to therapy. A lot of people just go to therapy when they're emotionally confused. They don't know what the way out is. It's more like the therapist just helps you reach the solution to a problem, but you're still doing most of the work. So at the end of the day, it's a choice, but it doesn't have to be like you need to have a particular disorder or something really serious for you to have to go to a therapist. It could be something, anything is like not being able to solve a fight with your best friend, and it could be really emotionally taxing. So that's one thing. On the other hand, therapy is expensive. So I do hope that it does become more accessible, and it does, there are more resources for cheaper alternatives to therapy.
Yeah, but I think that it's important that, you know, please seek help if you need it.
Yeah.
If you genuinely need it, you shouldn't be saying that, you know, I don't know if therapy will help me. At least try. You need to try, because a lot of people think that it won't help them, and it might not, but they still need to seek it and try it and give it a good shot, because that's what it exists for, right? It's to help people with problems. And again, it can be something serious or something very frivolous too, like Ayushi said. And another thing to keep in mind is that therapy isn't for everyone. There are some people who benefit from not going to therapy, and they're able to handle their things themselves. But again, you need to give it a shot. You need to try. And I'm blanking on something, but if I remember it, I'll say it soon.
I think another thing is people saying that, oh, my best friend is my therapist. And I think it's great that people can talk to their friends about issues. But the problem is, when you're talking to your best friend, she's at the same level as you. You both might be biased about certain views, but when you're talking to a therapist, it's like you're talking to someone who doesn't have any bias, you know? It's someone that you are, that is unknown to you, but can still help you. They're professionally trained to help you and to understand you. So that's another huge advantage of therapy.
Yeah, please don't depend on your friends to give you therapy or to help you navigate through all of your problems, because that can be extremely emotionally and mentally taxing for them too. So don't try to depend on them.
Also, we want to talk about your future, the various programs that you have on running, and what is your reach, basically?
Okay, so we personally haven't reached out to anyone, because our entire, like, our community thing is more about information. We post informational threads. We also have a website where we post articles and poems that are written by other people. So I don't think we directly help anyone, but I'd like to think that indirectly, at least, by reaching out to people and providing them with information and resources that they otherwise had no idea about.
Mm-hmm. As far as our future is concerned, right now, I've already mentioned that we are going to college and we want to keep this going. And we are looking at expanding our team. And then we'll look at maybe creating more reels, maybe reaching out to a wider audience. Right now, we are focusing on being student-led, but maybe sometime in the future, we could include professionals. We could include older people who are interested in making people aware about mental health as a topic. So right now, we aren't too decided on what we want to do in the future, but we do know for sure that we want to expand to a huge platform. We want to reach wider audiences, and we want to be able to continue spreading information and awareness about mental health.
That's really amazing. So with that, we kind of wrap up the podcast session. Thank you so much for joining us.